Be okay if I eventually pass school, because I was planning to go hear another lecture by Mark on Shanara's talk.
That's really up to your organizer to say, to answer that question. I personally find that doing something, please come in, doing something and representing something is the main way that we learn. So you will learn much more by teaching and by seeing and experiencing the presentation of the other students than you will by just listening to me. Absolutely guaranteed. So if all you do is listen to me, you will learn 20% maximum. By working on it, and then by experiencing from the other students, you'll remember 80 to 90%. So whether you want 20% or 80, 90%, that's... Okay, so it's February 17th, 2011, in Mayapur, attitude towards other Vaishnavas. All right. So this is the first thing to consider, is why we should care. Why care? Why not just serve Krishna? If you look at any religious system in the world, it's going to teach you two things: to love God and to love other living entities. Just like Jesus taught, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. I once went to an educational convention where they had a big sign: everyone who loves Jesus should love everyone who loves Jesus. So I really like that, you know. Everyone who loves Krishna should love everyone who loves Krishna. Really, we should love everyone. What to speak of? Everyone who loves Krishna. If I say that I like you, but I don't like your friends, I don't like your family, then what is this meaning of I like you? I like you, but I don't like your brother, I don't like your mother, I don't like your friends, I don't like your home, I don't like what you do. Therefore, Raghunath Das Goswami starts Manashiksha, the instructions to the mind, with saying that one should have love for... Anybody know Manashiksha? And he tells us what we should have love for. He says we should have love for Radha Krishna, for the Guru, for the Vaishnavas, for the Brahmanas, for Vrindavan, and of course Navadvipa is not different from Vrindavan. For the residents of Vrindavan. That means the little ants. And that's the beginning of the instructions to the mind. So there's no question of having a loving relationship with Krishna if we don't love those who love Krishna. And any of you who have children, you know that if someone doesn't like your children, you won't like them very much. I can't imagine that I would like someone who doesn't like my children or who is mean to my children. Now, if somebody cheated one of my children, they would not be my friend. And there's nothing they could do for me that would make up for that. So if someone stole money from one of my sons and then tried to give me a nice meal and flatter me, and I wouldn't be interested. It just, if somebody attacked your mother and then said, well, I'm going to be your friend. So we need to have good relationships, actually with all living entities. With the ants, with the spiders, with the trees. Because ultimately they're all devotees. But at least with those devotees who are awake to the fact that they're devotees. At least that. And having good relationships is based, of course, on having good qualities. It's very difficult to have pleasant relationships with the other devotees if we have no respect and we are arrogant. It's hard to have a loving relationship with someone that doesn't respect you. If you can think for a minute of someone in your life who's been very disrespectful to you. Sometimes we have people, they disrespect our possessions or our desires, or they deal very arrogantly with us. We don't want to reveal our heart to those people. I had some dealings some time ago with one lady who just refused to respect my desires. And I'd say, please don't call me after 8 at night. And she would. And I'd say, please don't do this. And she would do it again. And I would have to turn off my phone so nobody could call me. And eventually, you just don't want to be around a person who treats you like that. You certainly don't want to develop an intimate friendship with them. So if we're going to be, have a loving relationship with the devotees, first we need to be respectful of them. And this means to respect what they want. Such a difficult thing to do. It sounds so easy, but it's extremely difficult. We usually deal with other people according to what I want. I'm thinking, I'm dealing with you because I want to get something from you that I want, instead of I'm dealing with you because I want to serve you in a way that pleases you. And that is the essence of respect and humility. That I'm really concerned about you. So this is from Bhagavad Gita. Beautiful two verses. Actually, this whole section of the 12th chapter is, I find, very humbling. I think there's some seats here. If you want to come and sit. Is that seat empty?
Oh, sure.
There's a chair here and there's a chair here. You don't need to hide there in the corner.
Or you can come
in and sit in the front. I'm also worried that if people come in and you're sitting there, that they'll step on your head. So whenever I read this section of the Bhagavad Gita, I feel very humbled that I really don't possess any of these good qualities. A kind friend to all living entities. I mean, we can really think of this as the essence of our Vaishnava relationships. What does a friend mean? A friend means that I think about your welfare. Who does not think themselves a proprietor? You know, I tend to think this is my home, these are my clothes, this is my money, this is my space. But the devotee thinks everything is Krishna's. I am Krishna's servant. Sometimes people say to me, oh, Urmila, thank you for giving me so much of your time. I said, but it's not my time. I'm a servant. And one of the main ways that we can have sweet relationships is to remember that I don't own my time. I don't own my life. I'm meant for the service of others. I'm meant for the service that Krishna gives me. Free from false ego. False ego means thinking I'm an independent controller. A lot of the emphasis on Vaishnava qualities, which we'll look at more in Lesson 2, is being equipoised. The good times and the bad times. Always satisfied. Right? One of the main blocks to our Vaishnava relationships is our feeling offended, not just offending others, but when I think, oh, someone has offended me, someone has mistreated me. Engage in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me. So this is one of the key principles of the Bhagavad Gita, fix our mind upon Krishna. And Prabhupada talks about how in modern society, how in modern society, people are very disrespectful. Even to their superiors, what to speak of to each other. and to living entities in general. And we've seen this practically. When I was working in Gurukula, I used to visit a lot of schools, and I saw that the students would often treat their teachers worse than they would treat a pet dog. You know, they would yell at them, they'd throw things at them, they'd call them names. The atmosphere when I was growing up wasn't like that. We were trained to be respectful to our authorities, and that's pretty much gone. So at least to respect those who are in a position of authority. There's a study I read once about universal moral principles. So there were some studies done about whether or not the various cultures of the world had some moral principles in common. And they found that every society, every community, every nation valued those five things: purity, authority, fairness, community, and not doing harm to others. And my little memory aid is patch, and then you have to turn the T into an F. Now, of course, you don't understand that?
It's just a way to remember. Purity, authority, fairness, community. But you have to change the T to an F. So you start with a patch, then change the T to an F, and then you can remember.
So, of course, different societies have different definitions of these. So in some societies, meat is not considered impure, for example. But the idea that one should have things that are pure is there in every society. Also, the emphasis may be different. So in some societies, they may emphasize community over fairness. In some, they may emphasize fairness more than community. So there'll be different ways these are defined and different ways they are emphasized. But with the idea of authority, this is the principle that if someone's an authority, disrespect to them is more sinful than disrespect to somebody else. That is considered more immoral to do harm to a minister or a priest or a parent or a teacher or a government official than it is to do harm to an ordinary person. So at the bottom level, this is just ordinary, mundane moral principles. So at the bottom level, at least, we should have a respectful, humble attitude towards those who are superior to us. At least that. Now this, of course, is a really important point. Does anybody remember Upadeshamrita text 6?
I hope you did, otherwise your teacher's going to be in trouble with you right in this class.
It's about what is the difference of Vaishnava.
And what's it compared to? What's the analogy there?
The Ganges.
The Ganges. And even if the Ganges is filled with?
Bubbles.
Foam and?
Mama.
Good, very good. Okay, excellent. All right, so just a little recap of the Upadeshamrita now. So Upadeshamrita starts with self
control.
Yes.
First verse of Upanishamrita is? First, because I can't have proper relationships with anybody else if I'm uncontrolled. How can I have a relationship with you if I can't control my mouth? Correct? Then I can't have a good relationship if I can't control my anger, if I can't control my greed. Right, then after this, once I've gained self-control, then the next step are what's favorable and unfavorable for bhakti. Can anyone tell me? Any of the favorables?
Enthusiasm.
Patience. Okay, what are some of the unfavorables? Okay, unfavorables were either too much of something. Either too much of something or the wrong kind of something. Is your husband still coming on? So all this has to do basically with ourself. Right? This basically all has to do with ourself. And then, so this is text one, this is text two, three. And then what? Now that I've got myself together, now what can I do? Now I can have relationships. Okay, now I can have relationships. So then we have text four is about the six exchanges. Right? And the six loving exchanges have to do with what three things?
Gifts,
the mind. Okay. And now I want to know with whom I'm going to have these. So what's the next one? The next verse is about? I have to decide who I'm going to give these gifts to and reveal my mind to. So the next one is about? Yes. Three levels of devotees. So this text five tells you the positive ways in which you can decide with whom to have an exchange. Because I'm going to be exchanging love, I want to know with whom to exchange love. So this tells me whom to do it with. Right? So first I get myself together, then I can exchange love, and then I can exchange love appropriately with different levels of devotees. We talked about here, right, the beginner is someone who's
neophyte.
What's the symptom of a neophyte given here? Kanista means not steady. And what's the...
He thinks he's the most important person.
Well, that's true. What does Rupa Goswami say in this particular verse, though? That the Kanista is somebody who is?
Worshipping only the deities and not transcendental.
True, but not in this verse. That is a definition of Kanista. It is. It's a definition of Kanista given in purport to Ishapanishad, and it's also given in the 11th canto. One who's not Harinam initiation, or one who's ever chanted the holy name, that is the Kanista given here, but very good. And the definition of Majjham given here, middle given here. And that's diksha. A second initiation is worshipping the deity. And the definition of the uttama given here?
He's free from desire to criticize others.
How interesting. Rupa Goswami, he says, undeviating devotional service. Well, we knew that, right? Pure devotional service. Okay. And free, he only gives one material quality. Free from the... propensity to criticize others. Not just free from criticizing, free from the propensity. So
So I may not say something critical, but I'm thinking something critical. I'm feeling something critical. I may not say, ew, that sounds ugly. Tell us why. I may not say that, but I'm thinking, oh, look what Tulsi's wearing today. How are you? And I'm so much better than she is. And my mind and my heart are full of criticism. Does this happen to any of you or only to me? You are all Uttama Bhaktas and you're all free from the propensity. So the Uttama Bhakta has, they have no inclination to criticize. So that's the positive way. And then, what's the next verse? Just what we're talking about. How not to decide. So this is how I do decide. How I'm going to associate. Where I see, are you critical? Are you engaged in devotional service? Do you have diksha? Are you chanting? Are you following? Then I decide, how will I associate? If you're just coming to the temple sometimes and you chant a little bit and you're not serious, then I try to help you. If you're at my own level, I make friends with you. And if you're above me, I serve you. Of course, I sort of serve everybody. And how not to tell? What do I not use to tell? Don't use the body. And by the way, after this, nectar of instruction starts going on to sadhana bhakti. It's very interesting. You don't start sadhana bhakti until text 7. You don't start bhakti until text 7. In other words, you've got to have this first. First, you've got to be self-controlled. You've got to know what's favorable and unfavorable. You've got to relate properly with other people, other devotees. Then we can start talking about real advancement of bhakti. So important. And not by the body. Not by the body. So this means not by anything with the body. You don't choose with whom to have loving exchanges because somebody's old or young or male or female or black or white or purple or green or they have a broken leg. Or they're deaf, or they're ugly, or they're beautiful. That's not how you decide what someone's position is in devotional service. So very important. And we have found that there are many so-called practitioners of bhakti that's what they look at. They look at the body. In fact, until Srila Prabhupada, bhakti was considered an ethnic religion. It was something you were born into, and that's it. It wasn't understood as Sanatan Dharma. The concept that people from China and people from Germany and people from Brazil and people from America and people from Australia and Russia could all be Vaishnavas was not there 100 years ago. People thought you're advanced depending on your body. So when we decide how to associate with Vaishnavas, it's not on the question of the body. That is not how we decide. All right. A very famous verse from Bhagavatam spoken by Devahuti. Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse a lot. That even if you're born in a low family, if you're chanting the holy name of the Lord, you're glorious, you're qualified to perform Vedic sacrifices. It's very interesting that many materialistic people in the world talk about such things, but very rarely do they come to the platform beyond the body. All right, next thing we're going to look at is how we deal with... It's a little joke.
Next thing we're going to talk about is how we deal with Vaishnavas who have had a fall down. So we just talked about how we deal with Vaishnavas who have something with their body that's wrong. And by wrong, we could mean they took birth in Croatia instead of Serbia, or they took birth in, you know, or they're a man, or they're a woman, or they're too old, or they're too young, or they just look funny. Okay. So now we're going to look at something more serious that somebody might say, well, okay, all right, well, we'll accept that, as long as you're following your Vaishnava. But look at that person. They did this, and they did that, and they did the other thing. How could they be a Vaishnava? Now, I'm sure that when you study the ninth chapter, you discuss the mood in which Krishna spoke this verse. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur really discusses how this verse, and also at the end of the 18th chapter, Krishna is overwhelmed with love for his devotee. And this is frankly the way we feel about anybody that we love. If I love somebody, even if they do something terrible, I still love them. And I'm sure that they will again get it together. I read this story once of a man whose mother died when he was very young. He became a criminal. And he was in jail over and over again. His father would always visit him and say, "Son, I'm praying for you. Son, I'm praying for you." And after his father died, the man turned his life around. But the point is that an ordinary father, he just feels, this is my son, and I know that someday he'll come back on the right path. And that's also Krishna's mood. Once somebody has surrendered to him, he has the view that someday they'll come back on the right path. And of course, this is the quintessential story. Ajamil, right, who falls on the path. And in that life, he went back to Godhead. He didn't even have to take another birth. In that life, he rectified himself, and he went back to God. And the warning is there from the purport. It's very interesting that in the purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada is not criticizing the fallen devotee. He's criticizing the person who criticizes the fallen devotee. And of course, this relates to that if we want to become... Everybody want to become a pure devotee of Krishna and Uttama Bhakta? Everybody want to do that? Okay, anybody here want to stay on the Kanista level? No, it's not fun on the Kanista level. Because on the Kanista level, you don't get much devotional ecstasy, and you don't get much sense gratification either. So it's not a very fun place to stay. So we want to become free from the propensity to... criticize others. Now, it's pretty easy to say nice things about someone who has all shining good qualities, but it's a little hard to refrain from criticizing someone who's done something abominable. Does this mean that we are fools and we have no discrimination? No. What's your evidence? What's your Shastric evidence? And it's right in front of you, in this room. What's your Shastric evidence that although we don't criticize the fallen devotee, we still have discrimination as far as our association? Yes?
That it says an accidental fall down.
Okay, an accidental fall down. That may be hard. We could discuss for 3 or 4 hours. What do we mean by an accidental fall down? Yes?
It goes on to say that no one should take advantage of this verse and commit nonsense and think that he's still a devotee.
So if someone doesn't actively try and improve it, and it says like through devotional service, you might fall down, but you still need to engage with Krishna through service. And if they don't have that determination,
So there's something in this purport about our being discriminating. What else did we discuss? It's at the front of the room, but it's not on this. It's in another part of the front of the room. And it tells you that we need to discriminate in regard to our association.
You're talking about how a devotee who's a madhyam can discriminate.
Correct. So right here, we are told to discriminate. So the trick is to discriminate without
judging.
Now, in one sense, the word discrimination and the word judging are very similar words in the English language. If I discriminate, I judge, I evaluate. In English, they mean practically the same. But there's a little difference. So there's something that I do have to judge. I have to judge with whom I am going to associate and how. So I have to judge. I am required to judge. Shastra is requiring me to judge with whom I associate in what way. But it's forbidding me from doing what? Thinking I'm what?
Better.
Now, this is also interesting because Rupa Goswami is telling us somebody on the same level I associate with one way, someone on a lower level I associate with another way, someone on a higher level I associate with another way. Well, then aren't I comparing myself to them? And aren't I thinking I'm better than this person and I'm lower than this person? In fact, there's a lovely, lovely verse in the Bhagavatam when Narada Muni meets Dhruva in the forest. Lovely verse, and I really recommend, not today, but tomorrow, that you go look it up. And Narada said to Dhruva that if you want to become free of all material miseries, when someone's lower than you, you help them. When someone's equal to you, you make friends with them. When they're higher than you, you serve them. You give up envy. Because envy is, I try to tear everybody below me. So that seems to say that I have to discriminate in comparison to myself. I have to look at you and say, are you lower, equal, or higher than me? But that immediately seems to set up a kind of judgment where I think, am I better than you? So how does one discriminate? This is a question that devotees ask all the time. How do I discriminate about not only with whom I associate, but how? Because I have to associate with so many people. I have to associate with the person at the airline ticket counter, the person driving the rickshaw, the little ants that decided that the flowers that I put on my altar were really tasty. So then I have to decide how I'm going to associate. So it's not, when we say without judgment, what we really mean by that is without what?
And bad feelings and
envy. Bad envy and
criticism.
Well, what do we mean by judge? Judgment is, I like the word, but it's a tricky word. Without envy, without criticism.
Prejudice, without prejudice.
Without prejudice, which is interesting, because the word discrimination can also mean prejudice.
Without false ego.
Without false ego. Well, that's kind of hard for me. I haven't quite got rid of my false ego. Still working on that. So without pride. Without thinking, I'm a better person. So just like very soon you all have your Bhakti Shastri degree, does that make you a better person than someone who doesn't have a Bhakti Shastri degree?
Yes and no.
Yes and no, there you go. Okay. So it may mean that you know something, but you're not a better person. Because on that level, we're all equal. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavi Hastani Suni Chaiva Swapaketa Pandita Samadarshinaha. We're all equal. I'm not better than any. I'm sitting up here as a teacher and you're all sitting there as the students. But I'm not better than any of you. And nor are any of you better than me. We're all equal. None of us is better than anybody. We're just not. And so we see, I'm not better than anybody. I have to choose my association because I'm enjoined to by the Shastra. It's very much like that a married woman, she will not associate with people who criticize her husband. At least that's a really foolish thing to do. Any of you who are married, or if any of you plan to get married, if someone's critical of your husband, it's best not to associate with them. Because then you'll start seeing your husband critically also. You'll start thinking, oh, maybe they're right. I had an instance where some young man was telling me that one of his friends came to him and said, your mother didn't raise you very nicely. And all of a sudden he started thinking about it and he became very critical of his mother. So in the same way, if we want to love Krishna, we don't want to intimately associate with people that are going to damage our relationship with Krishna. But it's not that I think I'm a better person than them. We're all souls. Now this is tricky. It's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing to think about or to understand. But it's worth taking the trouble to figure it out. It's worth taking the trouble to look in your heart and saying, do I think that I'm a better person? I'm a better soul? That I'm a superior entity? Because most of us think we're superior to everybody else in some way. Now, I find some fault in everybody. You know, even a very great soul, I'll find something where I think that I'm superior. So this is challenging us to be discriminating without judgment, without criticism, without pride. All right, this is what we're supposed to have accomplished. One other thing that we could discuss briefly is how to see people who are Vaishnavas but not members of ISKCON, or who are theists but not Vaishnavas. So how do I view pious Christians, pious Muslims? They're not even Vaishnavas, but they're worshiping God. Or how do I view Vaishnavas? We were just in South India with the followers of Ramanujacharya. So their practice is a little different. They don't focus so much on chanting the holy name. Their focus is more on surrender, actually. How do I view them? They have a little different practice. Their focus also is more on Narayana than on Krishna. Although, it's interesting, although their Alvars very much glorified Krishna, and Andal especially glorified Krishna in Vrindavana. But their emphasis is somewhat different, yet they're Vaishnavas. Or then we get a little closer. How do I see other Gaudiya Vaishnavas who are not in the Sarasvat line, who are not coming in the line of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati? If you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, then you'll read of so many different branches of the Chaitanya tree. Right? So we have... Actually, we could go up here, and Rupa Goswami starts talking about different levels of people, right? Talks about what are your lens levels. Bottom level is what? Those ordinary materialistic people, the karmis. Mm-hmm. When I joined his company, we were always talking about the karmis. You don't use that word much in his family. The karmis above the karmis are the
yamis.
Right? Then we have different levels of devotees. Or in Vyad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami discusses also the different levels of devotees. So we have, we could look at this.
I am going to run out of paper here.
We have one. Oh, great.
Okay, I'm getting nervous. So we have, here are all of our theists. Spell right, or is it I-E?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Nobody's videoing it, so we'll just leave it. Okay, this is everybody who believes in God. Everybody who's religious. There's a big circle. And then inside that circle, we have the Vaishnavas. That's everyone who worships God as Vishnu, some form of Vishnu, in the four sampradayas. So the Hindus who are worshiping Shiva or Shakti, they're somewhere here. Okay? Then in here, we have the Gaudiyas. So if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, so many branches of Gaudiyas. They don't all come through Bhaktivinoda Thakura and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. There are other branches of the Chaitanya tree. And Prabhupada writes that some of these branches, they are producing bona fide spiritual masters. And then among all the Gaudiyas, we have our, what's called the Sarasvat line, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, those who follow Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And then within here we have ISKCON. And of course, what's interesting and not unique to us, you switch. All of a sudden, I looked for you there, and you weren't there. Confused me. So, as in most religious organizations, the people we have the most trouble with are right here. We have a lot more trouble with these people than we have with these people.
Huh?
We can understand why. I don't know if we get into a whole discussion of why, but 12 o'clock. Just some idea why do we have a lot more trouble with these people than we have with these people, or even these people?
Because we have relations, our ones higher than to us. Others we should follow. They just don't know the truth, but they should follow.
We think, we feel they should follow, okay. Yes.
Because with the people of ISKCON, we have a relationship, and with others, maybe.
But wasn't there with ISKCON? I'm saying with these people. Here's ISKCON. Here's ISKCON. Here's the followers of Bhaktisiddhanta who are not ISKCON. Here's the Gaudiya Vaishnavas who are not followers of Bhaktisiddhanta. For example, here you'll find the followers of Shyamananda Pandit. If you go to Vrindavan and Radhakund, you'll see people wearing Shyamananda Tilak. Have you seen the Shyamananda Tilak? It's usually Radhakund Tilak, and it's open all the way down to their nose. The nose part is also open, and then there's a little dot here. Here you'll also find the Nityananda Parivar. So I was recently working with a project with one girl from the Nityananda Parivar. Their tilak goes like this. It has a point and it comes down, and then they have another dot there. So those are people, they're Gaudiyas. They're Gaudiya Vaishnavas. They're followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They're not followers of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. So that's this circle. Then here are Vaishnavas who are not followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then here are people who believe in God but don't follow, don't accept that God is Krishna. So why do we have more problems with the followers of Bhaktisiddhanta who are not members of ISKCON than we do with these other circles?
Is it when your beliefs are so similar, sometimes you clash more? Like, for example, with my friends, we both believe the same thing, but if they're practicing in a certain way, you have the desire to be like, no, but the way I'm doing it's right. And
yeah.
If you come from the same line of knowledge, then often there's more clash. Whereas with people who are just theists, it's like, well, it's a completely different knowledge, and they're doing what they want with it, so we'll respect that.
Any other thoughts?
Envy.
Well, envy is the problem all across the board.
We're eager to be unified because everything's like strength to be together, so we want to be the same and want to practice together, but with these differences we find there's a lot of conflict and
I think so. I think we also have this problem. That a number of, we have some people in this group who never had anything to do with ISKCON ever. They're followers, and this is true especially in places like Mayapur, where people are disciples of other of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati's disciples, because Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati had, I don't know the number, I have it on my computer somewhere, he had many, many disciples who founded their own lots and made disciples. Srila Prabhupada was not the only one of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati's disciples who made disciples. So there's those people, and then there's also other groups here who were in ISKCON and split. So a number of the people in this circle were originally, they came from ISKCON, they came from Srila Prabhupada. So generally the people in this circle didn't come from Srila Prabhupada at all. The followers of Shamananda Pandit and the Nityananda Parivar, those people generally, they came to follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from another way. But a lot of people came from Srila Prabhupada and then they went off to this place or that place or the other place. So I think also we have a little bit of a feeling of betrayal and disloyalty towards people in some of these areas. And sometimes it becomes very heated that, oh, this person is unchaste to Srila Prabhupada and they're disloyal to Srila Prabhupada and they've left. So how should we view, because we're talking about relationships with Vaishnavas, we're going to end on this note, how do we view other Vaishnavas?
I really should view with respect.
I hope it's with respect. If we're supposed to respect even ants and trees.
Yes.
And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said anyone who chants the name of Hare Krishna even once, you should at least respect how? At least within the mind. So it should always be with respect. And never with the mood of criticism that comes from pride and envy. So we shouldn't be prideful or envious of anybody. We shouldn't even be prideful and envious of the demons. Prahlad Maharaj didn't hate the demon who was trying to kill him. Ambarish didn't hate Durvasa Muni, who was trying to kill him. He had no envy, he had no hatred. So we shouldn't hate anybody. At the same time, we need to decide with whom we're going to
associate
and how. So again, this is a fine line, and this comes to the to the end of our presentation of the six loving exchanges, that we want to have intimate six loving exchanges with people that are going to help us in our own mood. You know, at the highest levels of realization, it's true even that the gopis who follow Radharani, they don't so much associate with the gopis who follow Chandravali. Now they do sometimes, they all have the rasa dance together. But they have their different moods. So that's true even at the highest levels. But always with respect. And my dear friends, if we are disrespectful to other living entities, if we're prideful of other living entities, if we have a critical, envious mentality, there's no question of entering into bhakti. It cannot be done. What about the mosquitoes that bite you? You are allowed to kill aggressors, but without envy and without hatred. We may preach strongly, we'll talk about this in our next lesson, we may preach strongly against the atheists and against the evolutionists, but without hatred, without envy, without pride. So we have these six loving exchanges, and Prabhupada said ISKCON is meant for that purpose. It's meant to facilitate that. So ISKCON is not just about worshiping Krishna, it's about having these loving exchanges with the devotees. Okay, this really, we could have spent a week on this lesson, maybe a month.
We have a whole week.
I don't, because I am facilitating the Devotee Care Committee, which is very appropriate for this lesson. So we'll have a brief break. If you need to chant Gayatri, we can do that. We'll come back at 12:50. Thank you. Hare Krishna.